Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Jim on vacation, so Chip Scoggins is sitting in for us. I really appreciate that, Chip, this week. And as we're talking at just past 12:30 Central Daylight Time, Kirk Cousins is still on his contract with the Vikings for another 36 hours or whatever it is. And we don't know that he's leaving just yet, do we?
No, the negotiation window has opened. And sounds like he's probably talking to the both the Vikings, obviously, and then the Atlanta Falcons. Mm-hmm. That seems like the two teams that are most interested. There could be other teams that are involved, but those are two that are the two that everybody's kind of focusing on. So you would think, Todd, that it would happen today at some point. I don't know that this is going to drag on several days into the actual Wednesday start of free agency period, but. Right. To me, I think it comes down to comfort versus a longer-term deal. The Vikings don't want to – they haven't, expressed any desire to have a term that goes into 3 years. They held firm on that last time around with the negotiations with Kirk. And so we'll see what the Falcons offer if they blow him away at the deal and if he's – if it's enough to pry him away from a situation where he feels comfortable at. So I think it just really just comes down to that for him.
Yeah, so clearly the two sides must not be that close that they thought they could bridge that deal. So the Vikings are going to let him see what's out there. What do you think the Vikings have been offering, and what do you think Cousins' floor is? And is that floor lower with the Vikings than it would be, say, with the Falcons?
Yeah, last time around, they did not want to go into 3 years guaranteed, right? They wanted to keep it a shorter term. And so I don't anticipate they really want to go beyond 2 years, and so much of it is structure. How much of that is guaranteed? Is it 1 year guaranteed? Is it 2 year guaranteed? And so he made $35 million last season. There's talks about being over $40 million, $45 million. Daniel Jones from the Giants, I mean, his deal is at $40 million. So you think if you're looking at market value, Kirk should be beyond that. Now, people always talk about, would he give him a hometown deal because he likes it here and he's familiar with it. There's so much pressure from the union and just players wanting to have, their true value, be paid what they feel like they're worth, that the idea of hometown discount, I just don't think that applies in the NFL. I just don't see it too often. And so I would be stunned if that happened. We'll see what the Falcons, feel like. They feel like, their quarterback situation – they've built around it with some good infrastructure and that it'd be an attractive spot for Cousins. And so I don't know that the Vikings will budge off the guaranteed money and the guaranteed, the shorter term. Now, the problem that they'll run into is you look at if Cousins does decide to go to Atlanta, the idea of a bridge quarterback, a veteran that you'd bring in, that's changed in the last 24 hours with Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh. I don't know how attractive that would have been, but when you look at Denver eating a lot of his salaries, he would have been an option. Baker Mayfield re-signed with Tampa for a big deal, so now you're looking at possibly Sam Darnold, Ryan Tannehill. Those would probably be the two most obvious bridge quarterbacks. And so if the Vikings are fearful and don't want to go down that route, that may force them to come off kind of their stance on what they'd be willing to give Cousins. So it's kind of a cat-and-mouse game now. I'm sure the phone lines are burning up as we speak between Cousins' representatives and both teams.
The cat is about to catch the mouse. We don't know who is just until we find out today. It seems like, around 2 years and 80 maybe what the Vikings have been interested in. He's obviously 3 years and longer than that. So what is the actual deadline? Is that on Wednesday?
Yeah, well, the actual free agency starts on Wednesday. This is the negotiation day.
Yeah.
Started at 11 o'clock our time, so you have 2 days of negotiating. So you can agree to the deals. Can't actually sign them until Wednesday, but you can agree to them. And so you have, 48 hours here to do it. And there's no deadline. I mean, it could go beyond Wednesday, too, if you wanted to drag this out and, see if more teams could get involved. But I think just the way Cousins has handled these situations in the past, that he would prefer to get it done sooner than later. And the Vikings, too, because they need to move on with Plan B or the rest of their free agency, how they approach it.
I thought they wouldn't go past that because then they have to take on the dead money. Or does that go away if they sign him?
The dead money would land on Wednesday as 4 o'clock, I think. I'm not sure exact hour time, but the dead money does land on that time. So, you want to get that done before then. And I honestly think by this afternoon, it will come, because it just seems like makes the most sense that it's either Atlanta or here.
Yeah, and as this is airing this afternoon at 5:35, it might have happened between the time Chip and I are talking here at about 12:35. I really enjoyed your column that you wrote. You came out here to our neighborhood and talked with Mike Dreyer, the winningest coach in girls basketball history, and trying for another state championship, going down there this year. I'll be calling the games down at Williams Arena. Talk about what gave you the idea to do that and how it went.
Yeah, I wanted to. I've always, been fascinated by Mike Dreyer. And, I mean, the winningest all-time high school basketball coach in the state, boys or girls, that tells you just the interest. And, I'm fascinated by someone that's been at a school that many years. Was it 40-plus years at one place? And so I wanted to come up and meet him. I'd never met him in person. And so I drove up and spent the day with Mike and his family and went to practice. And just what a unique character. Loved having lunch with him there and Spicer, and then just kind of seeing how he operates and coaches. And, what a fascinating career he's had. What a great career. And the fact that you have that kind of success, one losing season your first year, and then not another losing season since. I mean, that's just tremendous when you think about how the game's evolved, how teenagers evolved, the social media, all the different things, parent involvement, everything. Just a really cool story, and I'm glad I got to spend a day with him.
Yeah. Mike embraced the three-pointer, when that came in right away. I know it's been a long time now in the state, but he uses that really as a weapon. He's a very smart tactical coach.
And that's what I learned. You talk to people that played him for him, way back when, and even more contemporaries, there's certain principles, fundamentals, doing things the right way, the 2-3 zone, sharing the ball, the way they move on offense. Those things transcend decades. And, you adapt and you adjust based on your personnel, but there's certain fundamentals and principles that he just has stood the test of time. And it's funny to hear people talk about, I talked to one of the moms of a player that's on the team now, and she played for Mike back in the early 90s, and she said, yeah, I know a lot about the 2-3 zone. So everybody who's played for him, has come through that program, knows about that 2-3 zone and where they're supposed to be and how it's supposed to work.
Yeah. Jim Boeheim and Mike Dreyer, not necessarily in that order, the masters of the 2-3. That's terrific. Yeah, so thanks for spotlighting, high school girls basketball. And then your next column was spotlighting college women's basketball with Caitlin Clark, and what a phenomena she's become. And it's great she's become that, not just famous for being famous, but famous for doing everything the right way.
And you said it right, Todd. You used the right word, phenomena. Yeah. And that's what it is. I mean, when you go to – I took in the – when Iowa came here in late February, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, and played the Gophers. And fans were lined up 3 hours before the game outside, and it was freezing that day. And these were not general admission tickets. The only general admission tickets they had that night at the barn were just student sections. And these were families and older people and younger people, not all college students. And I was thinking, why are they here 3 hours early for not general admission? I mean, were they going to run to their seat? But it was just, they just wanted to get in and watch her warm up, get around the tunnel where they come up to possibly get an autograph. And then we saw it downtown and at the games this past weekend at Target Center, the amount of Iowa people, fans that traveled, and just, it's like a rock show.
Yep.
I mean, it's like this supernova in college basketball. And she's just a great player. The way she plays, the long three-pointers, the creativity, the passing, it is something unique to watch. And she didn't shoot the ball well at all yesterday in the first half. She's 0-9 on threes, but she just has this presence that I've never seen in my time, where people are that gravitated to her. And she's the most most popular basketball player in college basketball, men or women, right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. And so it's you said it right, phenomenal. That's what it is.
Yeah, you could start to line her up against some of the top professional players. I mean, her stardom has reached that level where there isn't many in the WNBA even that are thought of ahead of her.
No, not in terms of just, you know, brand and star power. Yeah. And part of that, because, you know, obviously she's a great player in the way she plays with the creativity and the flair. That's part of it. But she's come along at this kind of inflection point in women's sports where there's more attention being paid to all women's sports now, both with viewers, TV, and advertisers. And look who's advertising, who has linked deals with Caitlin.
Yeah.
Nike, Gatorade, Buick. I mean, these big major corporations that have attached, aligned with her and want her to be a spokesperson. That's a lot of eyeballs, and in social media era that are on her. And I was thinking about this last time when she was here. I was like, I can't imagine the pressure she feels every time she steps on the court, because people come to watch her do something special.
Yeah.
Not just play. They want to see something special, and there's an expectation that she's just going to put on the show. And, you know, more times than not, she does, and most of the time she does, because, you know, she just has that knack for it. But I can't imagine, you know, the weight that she feels, and she just handles it well. She really understands her role as kind of the ambassador for women's basketball right now.
Yeah. Chip, thanks so much.
All right, Todd, appreciate it.
Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Chip Scoggins joining us today.